We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. I'm Tanner Schwent, Brian Gary, my co-host, Angel Padilla, doing the production back there. And joining us now is Miles Blumhart from the Colorado. And Miles, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Does your new bride call you Spanish lullaby?
What?
Where is that Madonna playing?
No, that was the Sultans of Swing by Dire Straits.
That's what?
Good.
Sultans of Swing by Dire Straits?
Oh, okay. Just a second here, maybe. Oh, I missed it. Okay, just a second here.
What, are you listening to Madonna? Are you having a dance party? Yeah. Are you voguing alone?
What is he
right?
doing?
So I'm throwing up my 10-pound barbells. Yeah, and I was listening. And the Madonna came on to really jazz me up. My God, I'm so sorry. But are you her Spanish lullaby, Tanner? This is awkward. Let's go. Come on, let's go. So, what about the border war?
You know, it reminds me of an old Madonna tune, Borderline.
That's right, there you go. Probably her best song, by the way.
Miles, that was a swing and a miss, my friend.
It could have been worse. I could have been on a different radio station.
That is true.
That's fantastic.
I had to text your colleague this morning, and Kevin Lytle, because I did hear him on a different radio station. I'm like, you're cheating on us when I specifically asked you not to? And he said, if it's before 6 a.m., it doesn't count.
So that's funny.
Works, he did the bronze boot run this morning with the ROTC cadets. So.
Yeah, Brady was out there too. I was proud of those guys.
Good.
Well, you were in your basement sweating to Madonna.
I'm what they call, you know, when you have to wear those pants, those husky pants. That's where I'm at right now. So. I gotta cut some weight.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on.
I have no idea what you're speaking of, Miles. I've never had to wear those before.
Move on from Miles' workout.
All of my pants are stretch pants, whether they want to be or not.
This has started out really badly.
Yeah. To the point where I almost want Angel just to hang up, call you, and let's try this thing again. But
don't blame you.
We'll dive into this. Miles, it was a story that we kind of talked about a little bit about last week, but I know it's up on the Colorado and now this morning about US 287, one of the deadliest roads there. Talk us through the story, Miles.
Yeah, I finally, you know, it's been a long, it's like a month-long process to get all the data and everything. But, yeah, it is. It's, you know, it's one of the deadliest roads in Colorado for sure. There's 15 fatalities in the last 11 years. And that's that 30-mile stretch from Ted's Place or Colorado 14 up to the state line. It's only 30 miles. But when you start looking at the data, it's just, you know, that stretch of highway looks really wide open and really inviting to drive, but there's a lot of distractions there. You know, a lot of it's driver's fault. There's impairment, which has killed 3 people on the road this year on that stretch already. You know, there's speeding, there's aggressive driving, you know, there's not paying attention, all those types of things, but it just seems to have a curse to it. You know, there's been almost a dozen University of Wyoming students killed on that section between Laramie and Fort Collins alone. So Colorado Department of Transportation has started a safety study on that to see what they can do.
I know we've talked a little bit too, Miles, is that the infrastructure falling behind just a little bit there too, because it wasn't built for a lot of those semi-trucks that are driving it now.
Yeah, it was in the last decade, there's been a 53% increase in overall traffic and 27% increase in truck traffic. One of the things with the truck traffic is, you know, when those crashes happen, a lot of times they're fatal just because of how big they are. But impairment, you know, there's weather issues up there. You know, there's, you know, blowing and drifting snow and ice. And but really, you know, it's just one of those stretches of road that if you don't pay attention, you know, you can have problems. CDOT's going to look at, there's already passing lanes up there. There's deacceleration and acceleration lines. They're going to, you know, try and look at adding to those. I talked to Colorado State Patrol, and they don't believe the 65-mile-an-hour speed limit is an issue. There's you know, wide shoulders. It's just really people being impaired and not paying attention.
Yeah, which is that's so sad because that's a controllable aspect.
Yeah, and that's, you know, You know, a lot of times people complain to me, and a lot of people have complained about 287 to us over the years. People complained a lot about the construction of the 925, and I get that. But at some point, it has to be, you know, and really with cell phones, I mean, it's inattentive driving is, I mean, distracted driving is, you know, you talk to any law enforcement official, and if it's not impairment, it's, you know, it's distracted driving. So, you know, really, it's on the drivers.
Yeah, and I firmly believe that, because I think the distractions are there, and we need to be more focused. Yes, I think there's a lot of weather incidents. That's a road that gets closed. I mean, that's one that you hear about there being trouble on. So naturally, just the climate and the way the terrain is set up and all that can make that a difficult road.
It can. I looked at the numbers. So there has been 553 crashes on there from 2013 to 22. 17% of those crashes occurred when there was ice, snow, or slush. So, and another small percentage was because of wet. So, although weather does play a role, a lot of times that road is closed, you know, when it's really bad. So, weather is an issue. It's just not as big an issue, I think, as some people think. You know what the biggest issue is? Or that what accounts for the greatest number of crashes is wildlife.
I was just going to say that.
See, that's interesting. Before we move into that wildlife portion, I want to make a note here, because we talked about a lot of this is controllable. It's not driving buzzed. It's not driving drunk. It's not driving distracted. Yet a lot of people are going to complain and say, hey, CDOT, you need to do something about that. And it's really not something that CDOT can control. I mean, other than DUI checkpoints and things like that, Miles, like it feels like we're going to be looking to a government entity to help solve a problem that is caused by the individuals on the roads.
So the Colorado Department of Transportation in the last 20 years has spent almost like $20 million. Rumble strips, guardrails, the passing and acceleration, deacceleration lanes. If you drive up there, the amount of signage is unbelievable. One of the problems up there is that I counted like 25 intersecting roads on a 30-mile section, some which come in there quite awkwardly.
Mm.
And that's an issue, too. Plus, you have Lean and Sons limestone quarry up there. You have buses that stop. But, you know, I agree with you. After a while, you just have to go, you know, we got to be better. So Colorado State Patrol said that they had been patrolling that. It wasn't in a saturation area, but they lost some troopers, and they lost some funding and resources. And in 2022, there were no fatalities. This year, there's three. And one of the things that Colorado State Patrol says is they've hired three more troopers, so that in 2024, they're gonna be up there in greater numbers than they have in the last few years.
We're talking with Miles Blumhart from the Coloradoan this morning. You said the leading cause on 287 for accidents was wildlife. Miles, what time? I mean, are we talking deer? Are we talking elk? What are we talking?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so I went up there the week of October 16th to the 19th, and sure enough, right by the Abbey, right up there, there's a guardrail taken out by a UPS semi, and there was a dead elk. And it's mostly deer. Wildlife makes up 34% of the collisions on that stretch. What happens is this time of year, so November is when crashes spike up there. Mostly it's because of wildlife, because they're migrating from their summer range to their winter range, which crosses the road there, the highway. And so what happens is, you know, you in November, those spike. So you got to be really careful. And then also you got what you love, right? The time change is happening this Saturday, which also influences that. The good thing, the best thing about wildlife collisions is there hasn't been any fatalities. Most of the fatalities happen up there. I think there's been eight crashes, but they've resulted in eight head-on crashes, but five deaths. So
yeah,
a third of them. So it's just you know what? You have to pay attention when you're driving on that road.
Do any of those things that people could put on their vehicles, like those deer whistles, those kind of things, do they have any effect whatsoever on the wildlife?
I've read that they don't.
Yeah.
And the wildlife collisions aren't high enough up there to warrant any kind of underpass, overpass, you know, fencing, anything like that. I looked at the studies, and you have to have more collisions than what they have up there. You know, if you look, I think it was, you know, in that Vail area and that, they put in these expensive but effective wildlife overpasses and underpasses, but that area doesn't qualify for it. CDOT hopes to spend about $10 million in the next 5 years to figure out what kind of projects that could make that road safer.
Well, I know Friday night, big game up in Laramie, Miles, and some DUI saturation going on there on 287.
Yeah, it's so simple, right? Just get a designated driver. Somebody's got to, you know, have your back. They're going to be not only patrolling 287, but I-25. So, you know, make your plans ahead of time.
Get a damn hotel room up there.
Yeah, I'll get a hotel room. Probably don't want to Uber from there. But, you know, there's in this day and age, you know, we can't have that. And,
nope.
And, you know, I mean, I talked to the mom who lost a daughter up there in 2021. You know, and just the devastation to her and her family is it really hits home. So don't drink and drive. Hopefully the Rams will come back with the bronze boot. I'm not thinking that's going to happen. I think it's probably 21-10 Wyoming, I think.
Really? You've got them covering comfortably.
Spread, yeah.
I think the spread's 7, right? So
yeah.
11. Yeah, I don't see it as a very high-scoring game. I'm not sure about Torrey Horton and his availability. I think he's pretty banged up.
No, he is, but we've talked a lot about it, Miles. They've still got guys out there. You look at Justice Ross Simmons, and you look at what Dallin Holker can bring. And, you know, and the other thing is that, you know, Boise just beat the crap out of Wyoming last week. So that can either really light up a team like Wyoming, and they can be really amped for it. But if CSU gets up early, that could be interesting.
Yeah, and you got Louis Brown. I think he's a good receiver too.
Yeah.
The problem is, I think Wyoming's going to make them one dimensional, right? They're not going to be able to run the ball against Wyoming. Wyoming's very good against the run. That's what scares me. And when they become one dimensional, BFN has a tendency to throw a few more interceptions. If the Rams can just sneak out a few points, I think they can win this game. I thought their defense played pretty well against Air Force for a pretty good portion of that game. That's just my own feeling, but I've seen CSU defenses play a lot worse against Air Force. So that kind of emboldened me a little bit.
Hey, I'm wondering, Miles, real quick, our poll question today with the passing of Bobby Knight, who was the most intimidating coach? If you had to play for somebody, who would have been the most intimidating coach to play for?
Steve Adazio.
I'll give you a quick story, Bob Knight. So I worked out at the 1984 Olympics, and one of my jobs was to monitor the press conferences, and Bobby Knight was the coach. And so I was the person that stood up on the podium and would point to the media for Bobby Knight to answer the questions. Oh, my God, my hand was shaking up there. I was so afraid of the guy. He was unbelievably intimidating. So, yeah, I got to go with Bobby Knight.
No Steve Adazio, no Larry Eustachy.
No, Larry Stacey and I had a really ugly disagreement one time, and those guys have a lot of bark, not a lot of bite. Bobby Knight had both.
No, he certainly did. Yeah, no, I was with Mike Ditka. A lot of lists have Bobby Cox on there as well.
I had Woody Hayes.
Oh, psycho! Yeah,
yeah. I mean, when you punch a player in the gut,
right?
You know, you've lost your mind.
Yeah, I'm sure like Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick, Nick Saban. I mean, there's a good list, but Bobby Knight, because he's an intimidating figure. He's a big man.
Yeah, passing away at the age of 83. It was when I was in middle school. Actually, we got to pick a figure, and it couldn't be a president or anything like that. You got to pick a figure, and I was a big sports nut, so I picked Bobby Knight. I'm like, okay, I want to learn more about Bobby Knight. That was the coolest presentation I ever got to dive into and learn, because I played the video of the infamous chair toss as it went flying across there. And of course, you know, he had his moments, man. Where it's like, I believe he punched a police officer down in a different country and all sorts of stuff like that. It was polarizing, but he was very, very, and I mean very successful.
Yeah.
That he was.
Sixth most in wins, I believe. Very intimidating person. But a great experience, you know, to be around a guy like that. And yeah, his presence was unbelievable.
Yeah, Miles Blumhart from the Colorado. And Miles, thanks so much for the time today. Appreciate it. Started out a little weird, but we settled right in. We're comfortable in the weird areas, Miles.
Yeah, I'll be your Spanish lullaby.
Get back to the Madonna. All right, well, hey, appreciate it, Miles. We'll catch up with you next week.
Yep, awkward ending.
See you later. La Isla Bonita.
There you go. There's Miles Blumhart from the Colorado. So I think he must have been talking with his AirPods in.
Yes.
And I think the music was still playing.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Yes, and he thought that was our bumper music.
I was like, that was Dire Straits, man. Yeah. How do you get Dire Straits?
I was very confused.
And he goes, wait, hold on a minute. Then you don't hear from him.
That was the greatest intro from Miles ever.
It's 8:54 the time. Let's get the latest in the nerd world. Here's Mike Kilpatrick.